Good afternoon. This is Edward Troy with Weight Off Your Shoulders. And I've been hosting this for a while. I'm really glad to be doing it. In my studio here in KD&K, I've got Gary Shalla, who is the director of Challenge Aspen Marketing. And Gary, how are you doing today?
I'm really happy to be here. It's nice to be with you, Ed.
All right. Well, Challenge Aspen is pretty well known in locally speaking. And let me ask your director of marketing, what drew you into Challenge Aspen?
You know, this is an amazing program. It really allows for, you know, those people with disabilities to really create their own expansion, their own ways to find new ways to be better and to expand what they can do or what they thought they couldn't do, which was really intriguing to me. It's a great program, and we talk about it being well-known here in the Valley, but we're actually well-known nationally and actually have international participants that come to us every year.
All right, fantastic. So would you be referring to the Challenge America, I guess, into which Challenge Aspen, I think, was kind of, is that a part of that? Or
no, the two completely separate organizations. We are Challenge Aspen. We are based in Snowmass. We do two different programs year-round. One is our CAMO program, which is our Challenge Aspen Military Opportunities, and then our recreation program, which is recreation, education, and cultural programs. And those are all run through Challenge Aspen.
Okay. So bringing in our, you know, the military veterans and so forth, I imagine that you see quite a few people that have gone through catastrophic, life-changing experiences. And describe to me maybe the process of someone has had one of those incidents, and how do you intake them and judge, like, whether, okay, you're suitable for this, or, you know, maybe you're not.
So our CAMO director, John, goes through every application. We get many of them. The thing about our CAMO program is all these participants are completely sponsored. So we want to make sure that we're taking participants who will really appreciate the program and that will really benefit from the program. These are young men and women who left this country and as full-bodied, able-bodied citizens, two arms, two legs, and other mental capacities in tremendous shape and well-trained, and come back with really, as you said, life-changing either injuries, amputations, PTSD, and their life is not that same. And so their spouse and their relationship with their spouse changes, their relationship with their families change, their relationships with themselves, you know, how they view themselves changes. And so what we're really looking for in these participants in our CAMO program is ways that we can really expand what they're doing and get them back into society and give them some challenges that they had when they were in the military, those things that drove them to be better people. I'd love to tell you how we do that.
All right. I'm going to ask you.
All right. Good.
Just how do you do that?
So our CAMO participants come in for a 1-week retreat. We run back-to-back-to-back retreats. We either have an all-women's retreat. We have all-men's retreats. But we also have couples and caregiver retreats, which are really some of the most amazing, because not only does a participant get to grow, but his spouse or his caregiver gets to grow as well. So they come in, especially this time of year. Now, we are a year-round program. I'm going to talk about mainly the winter sports that we're into now, but we have a whole summer program as well. So we have a ranch during the summer that we can do ropes courses and fishing and archery and hiking and boating and all these other things. But during the winter, we're really focused on skiing, either in regular skis, on a custom board, or in a mono or bi ski for those that need that help. So we come in, they get fitted, and then they start their program. We train them, and we have all professional ski co guides. They are trained to work with these people. We also have volunteers that act as buddies and support for our guides. They will go out on the mountain from about 9 in the morning till noon, have a little lunch, then go back out until 3. And you'd think, well, that's great. That's, you know, where the day should end. But that's really just the start of the day. That's that challenge to get their mind going, to give them something to really push them a little bit, to get them out of their comfort zone so they start to feel some of those same exhilarations that they had before they were injured. But then we followed up with both nutritional training, with yoga, and with breathing or meditative exercises. Those extra features that help them when they return to wherever their home is across the country to be able in those stressful situations, in those times that they get down, to go back to a yoga pose or go back to a breathing exercise so that they can really refocus their body and get them back on the right track. And then naturally at night they're able to reconnect with veterans that have their same experience or spouses that have that same experience so that they create their own little tribe at each retreat, that as things maybe get tough when they return home, hey, I'm gonna call up Ed and say, Ed, do you remember when we were down the slope, how great that was? I'm having a blue day, help get me going. And they can have that camaraderie and really that social interaction that many times they've shunned from. They've taken themselves out of society.
Okay, so that social network or fabric is something that's critically important. And I heard you mention, you know, the meditative aspect also. So you have people that have expertise in, say, like breath management and you know, finding that that connectedness of self to you know, to the social network that is sometimes. They have decided, well, you know, I can't do this anymore, you know, and I'm out here. I'm checking out. I don't want to be bothered. Just leave me alone. Give me the remote. And I'm going to sit in front of the TV and zone out on some rerun or something.
Yeah, that's a very true story, and we hear it all the time. And, yes, our yoga instructors, our meditative instructors, all of our professionals, from those ski professionals, from the Aspen Ski Company to our volunteers who are trained heavily, to our yoga professionals and our meditation professionals, all also get that extra training so that they understand some of the traumas, even if they haven't gone through it, that they know how to react and they know how to coach and mentor in those environments.
Okay, now there's obviously the visual types of injuries, and then you have the ones that are, you know, intracranial, where someone's had some PTSD. Situation, which usually means, you know, some sort of a pretty harsh concussive, you know, shockwave that's going through the brain and has created damage. This is probably not too different from people going in MMA or in, you know, football or boxing. They've had very sharp blows to the head and just maybe a concussive shockwave from an explosion from an IED or something along those lines. How do you work with those people to try to manage and mitigate some of those occult types of injuries?
That's a really good question, and that injury is not just specific to our CAMO participants. Also, our rec program, you know, many times because of car accidents or other things, we get those same traumatic brain injuries. What we want to do is really understand each participant. We want to make sure that whatever we do, it's always safety first. And so when we have those individuals who may be acute to loud noises, to make sure that we're addressing that, that we're doing things maybe away from the rest of the group for that part of the session, that maybe where they need to get fitted, where they're not in a huge room with loud and noise and running, that when we put them on the hill, we make sure that obviously everybody has a helmet, but that we're protecting them, that we're adding maybe some extra volunteers on the hill on either side so that we create a little buffer zone that when people come down, they see the bright green neon jackets that stand out like sore thumbs. They're like, well, something's up here. I better make sure I'm staying well away from whatever this participant is. So it's all those things. We really take, at any level, safety is our primary concern, and then really knowing that participant and knowing what we need to deal with to make their experience the most positive that can be.
So you're describing in a sense, a moving sanctuary going down, you know, if someone's skiing and you want basically a type of a safety envelope around that individual. So it's like no, you know, explosive loud trigger noises or things like that can bring back moments of despair or terror or who knows what, you know, in the range of human emotions that one can go through under those circumstances. I'm not a military veteran, so I can't speak to that other than just something like that I would have read in a book.
Right. And I'm not a veteran either, but we find that, you know, once that participant with whatever the disability is finds that zone, then it's hard to stop them. And a lot of our rec participants are expert skiers. A lot of our camos are expert skiers. And so they don't need that big buffer zone. But in certain cases, we will make sure that that participant's getting everything that they need and deserve to succeed.
Okay, so we're basically, in a sense, reintegrating these individuals back into a not, I hate to use the word meaningful, but into a participatory type of life where they're being in life.
Very much so. We know we serve over 150 different disabilities, so there's each one is a little bit different. But in all these cases, whether in the camel stories that we hear in the testimonials about how it's really changed their life and they look forward to now to having this outlet, our rec program as well, which is locals and national participants with only one of these 150 disabilities, we really want them to gain a sense of confidence, to gain a sense of renewed experience of being part of something again that they can feel like they're contributing and they're raising their bar as they're participating in whether it's skiing or bowling or whatever, a simple board game, that they really feel engaged and they feel that they're accomplishing, because we all want to have that sense. And so we're really pleased. Our local pro ski program, our boarders and our skiers have all qualified for NASTAR, which is a national competition. It'll be at the end of March here in Snowmass, which is great to have it in our backyard.
That's fantastic.
But they leave tomorrow for regionals in Leadville. They are so excited, and they've all just this year really just come into their own. The state meet is at Copper later. And so to see these young people really grow into their own just confidence is just a really gift that is priceless.
So in an odd sense, you're describing how some of these folks are able to evolve and find a new niche in life where they feel good about fitting in where they are, in a sense, right now.
Absolutely. And they create their own social networks. They create that ability to say, hey, I can do this. If I can learn to ski, if I can learn to bowl, if I can learn to raft and do all these other things, you just see the elevation of their spirit and of their soul. And that gives them that maturity and that confidence to go out and try that next thing and be successful at a job and be successful at taking on new opportunities as they present themselves. Something that, whether it's a camo participant or a rec participant, a veteran or someone with a disability, to give them that kind of confidence level and that kind of enthusiasm that says, I can do it, I am special, is really what we're all about.
Now, do you see a lot of crossover from people doing, like, say, the summer or spring programs or autumn programs with the winter programs?
We do. So our locals program, which we have about between 30 and 40 year-round residents that participate in our locals program. Yeah, they're absolutely already looking. Obviously, they're really focused right now on that skiing. But you know, as soon as it's over, they'll be looking at, okay, when are we going to get up to the camp? When can we do this? When can we do that? And the same with our camo participants. Many of the camo participants that we see during the winter, although we can't bring all of them back, many will apply for summer opportunities because it was such an uplifting experience that they want to continue that momentum that they've gained and not lose that drive and that renewed sense of self-worth as they move forward. So yes, our many of our participants are either year-round or come back for summer events. We have a program called Music and Dance, and it's been going on for 22 years. It's the middle of July. I think our greatest showman is our theme this year, and it's Friday the 17th will be our performance. But it's a week-long interactive music dance for part of the day, and then outside activities the second half of the day. But some of these participants have come back for 17, 18, 19 years because it just gives them that high, and they just love the participation. They love the presentation, and again, validation, confidence, all those things that we all crave.
Well, it sounds like they get a great chance to have a sense of belonging in the situation that they're in, that there's an affirmation of who they are, and and that's more perhaps important than what they can do specifically. Do you find any of those participants seeking to become volunteers and to work with Challenge Aspen later on? Like, let's say they've gone through a couple of years of programs, they're like, oh my God, I got my life back. I feel like me again. And I want to get out there, and I want to gift somebody with who they are, and gift them with that ownership of who they are again, just like I got you or received. Does that happen often or
a little bit? And that's what we find is that the word of mouth and the support then that comes from in financial assistance from past participants saying, hey, I want to make sure that one of my brothers or sisters can do this, and getting the word out among their brothers and sisters that, boy, you should try this. It was great. I want you to experience this. With our rec program, those individuals who are in our rec program probably won't ever be volunteers, but what happens is they're their own community support network. They are amazing in giving each other guidance and support and little tips on skiing or high fives when they do well. So in a sense, they are their own best support group because they understand each other and they're just there for each other. And so we see that camaraderie exponentially within our programs.
Okay. Now, are there particular areas where you seek to where demographics that you market towards a little bit more, and you're not so much even marketing, but just in a sense opening up the horizon for people to come in from many different angles that are, hey, look, like for instance, that you've got about 150 different quote, I don't like to use the word disability, but
they would prefer you do.
Okay. Honestly. Well, in that case, disabilities.
Yeah. So you need to be we'd love to expand as we can. That's always limited by budget, but we're always out there marketing and talking to people about what we do. We have just a tremendous following of donors and advocates for us, so that's always important. I think one of the things that I see, and this is just my personal take, is I'd love to see us get deeper into some of the Latino communities and other communities in our valley. There are disabilities there, and I think there's stigmatisms that are cultural there that I'd love to see those walls broken down and see more of those participants in our program. The other thing that we're actively looking at, and it probably won't be for this year, but maybe for 2021, is we really recognize the caregiver. So when you have a child or a husband, for whatever reason, that has one of these disabilities that has now a change in life, you're now 110% engaged in that person's life. And so how do we give that caregiver that support that we need, those resources that they need, so that they feel that they also are getting out of life what they need to get out of life? So those are two things that we hope in the future we'll be able to address more deeply.
Okay, now you mentioned a lot earlier, simple board games. Are there things such as things like a like visual art or music programs that are associated with, you know, as a part of maybe a very comprehensive approach to helping someone go from A to B and wherever they are in the alphabet getting to Z.
Absolutely. And so obviously our music and dance is the most prominent example of that. But in our rec program, we have art is part of that program. We also work with a drumming program. So they go and drum once a week and both get out those frustrations, but also learn rhythm and sound and movement, and they can be free in whatever free looks like to them. So there's all those aspects that we're trying to incorporate to make sure that we're getting a well-rounded individual and a well-rounded experience for all of our participants. We don't do some of those things with the military guys. I don't know if they'd like to paint or not, maybe. But we're really more focused in the CAMO program, that meditation and those yoga things, nutrition, all things that they can take with them. And maybe that will lead to an artist down the road.
All right. Fantastic. Now, I do want to ask, what are the typical ages of entry into Challenge Aspen, and what's the possibly even if there is a gender ratio, what that is? I would imagine the CAMO program is probably a lot more men in, as a percentage, but in a rec program that would probably be pretty close, maybe not, but maybe close to 50%, but still with bias towards men, I would suspect.
A little bit. So I don't know those numbers exactly. Our youngest participant ever was 3. Our oldest participant was 93. Our median age for our rec program is probably in the 18 to 28 year old range. Obviously, with our CAMO participants, they're post service, so they're in their at least mid 20s to early 40s. Mental health actually skews a little bit male. Autism is a good example of that, where it definitely skews male. And skews male at a young age, so we want to catch those autistic individuals when we can and get to them right away, because it really helps their advancement. And we hope that we can serve all, no matter what their age or ability or disability, that we can find some solutions for them in some ways for them to grow.
Now, are you finding people that have gone through some of the PTSD stuff where they've had maybe chronic traumatic encephalopathy issues where they, you know, again, concussions and things of that sort. And then, unfortunately, that leads to various types of dementia. Now, are you finding any, is there any data that is showing some kind of efficacy in terms of mitigating that, those horrifying progressions? Or is ameliorating it, or anything along those lines?
So I can't give you a statistical analysis. All I can do is tell you about a couple of testimonials in the past year where a lot of times this PTSD or other injuries or amputations lead to alcoholism, they lead to drug addictions, they lead to overeating and weight issues, and that we've had some really dramatic testimonials from our veterans, male and female, about how this program really got them on the path to sobriety. It got them on the path to not using those drugs because they used other ways to cope with stress or with the things that were really impacting their lives. So while I don't have anecdotal things, I can tell you by some of the testimonials that truly life-changing, and that getting them back into a sport, even if they can't excel at it, was something that really made a big impact in their lives, and that's what we were looking for.
Well, I'm really glad to know that you are involved and helping people get a heck of a lot better in life.
Thank you so much for letting me talk about Challenge Aspen.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Truly more than welcome. And, you know, so how do we get in touch, very briefly, how do we get in touch, or how would someone get in touch with you and or Challenge Aspen?
Best way is through our website, www.challengeaspen.org. That's the best way to find us. or reach out. We definitely have Facebook pages, Instagram, Twitter. So come on out and find us. We'd love to talk to you.
Gary, thank you so much for coming on my show today. And thank you for being in the Valley. And also great getting to know you the last couple of months, too.
Thank you.
Looking
well.
Forward to great interactions.
Thank you.
And keep up the great work.
Thank you so much.
All right. You're being exhorted.